Praise God. Well, I'd like you to stand to your feet as we honor the reading of God's Word. And I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Acts. The book of Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And today we're kind of preaching a transitionary message. We've been on a series called Relationship with the Holy Spirit. But we're also moving into a month of evangelism here in the month of October. And so I hope you guys will make it tonight for the ministry of Rodney Howard Brown. He really has an anointing for getting people stirred up for the purpose of souls and for soul winning. And so make it a point to come out tonight. It's going to be an awesome time of ministry. And it's like Leah said, how did you word it? It's a Holy Ghost blowout. And so come expecting just a fun time. It's going to be a messy service, but those are a lot of fun. You know what I mean? And so anyway, Acts chapter 4 in verse 23. Are you there? Okay. And I'm reading out of the New King James. This is what it says. And they being let go, just so you know, put it in perspective, the disciples have actually just been arrested for preaching the gospel, several of them. They were threatened. They were told, don't preach any longer. I love how Peter responds. Well, let me see whether I think we should obey you or whether we should obey God. And that was a pretty cool response. And so they release them, they threaten them, they release them. And they being let go, verse 23, they went on to their own companions. They reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. Everyone say, with one accord. And they said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand. The rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Truly your servant, your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Watch this, verse 29. Lord, look upon their threats and grant your service that with all boldness they may speak your word. Everybody say boldness. By stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. With great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Great grace was upon them all. Nor was there any among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them. They brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. They distributed to each one as they had need. And Joseph, who is also called Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Let's pray and ask the Lord's hand on this time together. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you, mighty God, the way it speaks to us. And Lord, I just ask today that there would be an anointing that would be released upon me, that I would preach under the anointing, under the unction of your Holy Spirit. That Lord, nothing of man's wisdom would be released this morning, but only the wisdom of heaven, only the wisdom of your word being poured into the lives. And I ask for an anointing upon your people today, that you would anoint our ears to hear what it is that you're speaking to us today. I bind every divisive and every accusing and every distracting and every twisting word of the enemy. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, you would hinder and frustrate the works of the enemy even right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And let there be a great liberty as we receive your word today. In Jesus' mighty, powerful, overcoming name, everybody say, amen, amen. You may be seated. This is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. You'll notice a couple things, and I'm going to give you a lot. I want you to get your notes ready, get your pens. If you take notes on your phone, or maybe you just catch it online a little bit later, that's fine. But I'm going to talk fast. I need you to listen fast, okay? I'll try not to talk too fast, but I'm going to give you a lot of scripture, a lot of information today, okay? And so you'll see that a couple things happen. Now, one of the very first things, we read about what happened, the boldness and the power and all things in common, nobody having, there's a lot of really neat things that happened here in this passage. But one of the things I want you to notice in verse 24, I had you repeat the phrase, it says that they heard that they raised their voice to God with one accord. Everybody say, with one accord. Now, I've taught this word before, but I know many of you have come even since the time that I taught this. That is the Greek word homothumadon. Everybody say homothumadon. Everybody say homothumadon. Okay, we're learning Greek here today. That's a Greek word. And what that means, let me explain, because this is a very, very awesome word. That word, homo, in the Greek, literally means same or one or together, okay? Thumadon is an interesting word. I love it. Really, what it means is fiery passion. Everybody say fiery passion. So you just imagine, this is essentially what he's saying. He said that together they lifted up their voice with a same passion or with one fiery passion. All of the people gathered together, this new church, they gathered together and with one voice, with one passion, they began to cry out to God. And this is where we begin to see this powerful demonstration of God's Spirit. Church, I really, as I study, what's interesting is you'll see that word homothumadon used 12 different times throughout the Bible. Most of them are in the book of Acts. And the reason that it's important to pay attention to is because almost every time you see a great outpouring of the Spirit of God. In fact, in the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that they were together in one accord. Guess what Greek word that is right there? Homothumadon, right. And they were together in one accord, and then came that sound of a mighty rushing wind that came and filled that upper room. They were filled with the Spirit. They spoke with other tongues. We know the passage. You can read about it in Acts 2, verses 1, starting at verse 1. And you'll read a number of other times. In fact, almost every time in the Bible, you see a great outpouring of the Spirit, or you see tremendous working of miracles, or you see God doing something just absolutely incredible, you will almost always see that the people were homothumadon. They had the same passion. They had the same desire. I believe that this is quite possibly the most important concept, the most important key for the church to grasp if we're really going to believe for a mighty move of the Spirit of God. I tell you, holiness matters, a passion in prayer matters, but I tell you, if we can be a people that gather together, listen, we're all different. And we all have different backgrounds, and we all have different passions, and we've all got different struggles, and we've all got different incomes, and we all come from different racial backgrounds. But if we can gather around this one idea, that in spite of all of our differences, the blood of Jesus is working in every single one of us. And we want to see the glory of God revealed. How many of us can agree, no matter what our differences may be, we all want to see the glory of God revealed throughout our islands, all around the world? I'm telling you, church, if we can rally around these, set aside differences, set aside divisive talk, and we can gather around the things that we should be passionate about. I'm telling you, we're setting ourselves up for a great Holy Ghost revival. Are you with me today? Okay, are we in one accord? All right, I hope so. Everybody say homothumadon. It's one of my favorite Greek words in all of the Bible. But there were a couple things that happened, and I'm just going to go through them quickly. But first of all, you'll see in verse 29, they prayed, your servants that with all boldness may speak your word. So when they came together in one accord, the very first thing that you'll see happen is they received boldness. Everybody say boldness. They prayed for that, and in verse 31, you'll see that that's exactly what happened. The place they were assembled was shaken, they were filled with the Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, this is exactly what Rodney Howard Brown ministered on this last Friday night. And I'm inclined to think he's going to minister in a similar vein tonight. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, if you don't have a boldness, here's what you need to do. Ask for it. Pray for it. I'm telling you guys, God can get a hold of your life in such a way that you can't help but talk about Jesus. I mean, I want something on the... Have you ever had something that's just burning so passionately on the inside of you that you just got to tell somebody about it? I bet we've all had that. I mean, you get some new gadget, right? I've seen people already showing off their new iPhone 11. And I don't have one yet, but you're going to hear about it when I get one, okay? Because I'm going to be excited when I get it, I think. People get excited. People get excited. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard people talking about whatever football team they like, or I'm more inclined. I like hockey better myself, but you guys don't understand that right here in Maui because you've never seen ice. But you know, people, they get excited about this kind of stuff, and they hear about it. And boy, we ought to pray that if God does a great work in our lives, He begins to touch us and move upon us. We need to ask God to give us boldness that we can actually share that faith with somebody else. Amen? Now, I'm not going to spend much time on this, but let's move on. The second thing that happened, you'll see in verse 30, they prayed, "Lord, stretch out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Now, and then it says that the place that they were assembled was shaken. And again, in verse 33, you'll see that the Lord answered that prayer with great power. Everybody say power. "The apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." I'm telling you, one of the greatest witnesses that you have is the power of God. It's really hard for somebody to disagree with you. In fact, we've had moments. My wife and I spent years leading evangelistic outreaches, and my favorite thing to do was to go to clubbing areas. Not to go clubbing, but we would go for evangelism. We'd never go into the clubs, but we'd be outside and we'd have a group of Bible school students or we'd have a group from the church and we'd go down to these areas and sometimes we'd hand out waters, sometimes we'd give out flyers for an event, but we would pray for people. And it was amazing how many times you'd just offer, "Hey, can I pray with you about something? Do you have any need in your life?" And their response would be, "I don't believe in God." And that's okay. Do you have anything? If you could, if God was real, and you wanted Him to do anything for you, what would it be? And I'm telling you, we saw miracles break out. In fact, one cool story from my wife is her and on that occasion, her friend Kelsey, who's come to visit us before, they were down there together ministering. And they got some pushback from this individual that they were ministering to, but eventually they opened up and said, "Fine, you can pray for me." So they begin to pray for this individual, and all of a sudden this guy cuts them off. And they say, "What's that wind?" They literally began to feel a wind as my wife began to pray for them. And there's something undeniable that begins to happen. In fact, I remember one of our Bible school students, he was down there and he was praying for an individual. This guy comes along on his crutches. And come to find out, this guy had injured himself and had ongoing problems with both his knee and his ankle. And so the guy offers, "Hey, can I pray with you about this need?" And so the guy says, "Sure you can." And instantly, the Lord heals him. I mean, this guy on the streets, out of the clubs, takes up his crutches and literally begins walking around. In fact, he starts doing laps around this entire area just to test out his new and healed leg. I'm telling you, church, one of the greatest tools that we have in our evangelism, in our witnessing, is the power of God. Everybody say power. If you want more on that, I'd encourage you, come out on Thursday nights. You know what we do every Thursday right now? We're doing a series called Fire Starters. And every Thursday, we are teaching and equipping individuals how to operate in the miraculous and how to release prophetic ministry. And God has put this so on my heart. In fact, we're getting ready to add a couple different pieces to it, raise up some additional leaders. And we're going to launch into Firestarters again. Because I'm telling you, man, it's incredible the healings that have taken place, the clear prophetic words. And you know what's really, really cool about that ministry is a great majority, 95% of it, is not coming from me or my wife. We're equipping you guys. And all of a sudden, we come in agreement. We learn what the Word of God says. We understand what it is that the Lord has promised us. And we begin to operate. And all of a sudden, bodies are getting healed. And bondages are being broken. It's the most incredible thing. Somebody say, amen. That's on Thursday nights. Join us for it. So they received boldness. They received power. But the third thing they received, when the Spirit of God began to move, which, by the way, let me just add in here, just a little side note. It says that the place they were assembled was shaken. People tend to get freaked out when Holy Ghost manifestations begin to transpire. You ever know, you know what I'm talking about? When people begin, you know, someone's getting prayer. And somebody begins to shake. Someone falls on the ground, or someone begins to cry. And but this is what I've noticed. Even the other night, on Friday night, now, strange things just kind of tend to follow evangelist Rodney Howard Brown. They just do. People begin to laugh. People begin to cry. People will fall. People will shake. And I'm okay with all of those things. I'm totally fine with it. And I always have this thing in the back of my mind, though, and I begin wondering, I wonder if we have any first-time guests. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, something. It's always when, you know, first-time guests, especially when it's somebody that's close to you, is always going to be the week that something weird happens in the service. Maybe you've never experienced that, but that's what happens. And so, but here's what was amazing to me. So the service, I mean, people start getting fired up, and there's some strange things that are happening in the service. And all of a sudden, Dr. Rodney Howard Brown opens up the altars. And I'm telling you, church, I have never seen the pews more empty on any occasion than they were on Friday night. Meaning everybody stepped out. Usually you see a number of individuals that just like, well, you know, whatever, I don't need that, or I don't have a desire for that. And even great evangelists, even healing altar calls, even things that I'm like, who wouldn't want to respond to that? They don't. But here's what I've discovered. People that have not been in the presence of God deeply yearn for the presence of God. And we need to be a people that are unashamed. I mean, if you get freaked out by people shaking, you just imagine the day when buildings start shaking because of the power of God. And I don't understand anyway. I remember Benny Perez pointing out, it's like back in our partying days, if you were out there clubbing and stuff like that, and you see somebody shaking or falling on the ground or, in an uncontrollable state, you're thinking, boy, they got a hold of the good stuff. You guys are all sanctified, but, you don't want to laugh. It's okay to laugh. You know, we look at parties and we're just like, boy, what are they on? And, you know, you get excited about this kind of thing. But here in the church, when the Spirit of God begins to move on somebody, oh, what's that? We get, let's not be that kind of people. Amen? God wants to do something crazy with us. Well, let's let him. Now, look at this. The third thing that happened, let's review. They received what, first of all? When the Spirit of God began to move on them, I know I caught you by surprise. Number one was what? They received boldness. What was the second one? Power. And here's the third one. In verse 32, look at what it says. Now, the multitude of those who believed. Everybody say, now. They were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And then it says that there was no one needy. Verse 34, there wasn't anyone around them who lacked. All who were possessors of land and households brought proceeds of the things which they sold. They laid them and they distributed them as anyone had need. You know what the third thing that happened was when the Spirit of God began to move on the New Testament church? Generosity. Everybody say generosity. This is incredible. There was no needy person among them. And right now, I want you to understand, you're not talking about a small church here. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were added to the church. By this point in time, they were somewhere between 3 and 5,000 people in their church. And nobody suffered need. Now, if we were honest, and we were to say, and I don't want you to raise your hand, but I know that if we were to say, how many of you have unpaid medical bills, or how many of you have an electric bill, or how many of you are behind on your rent, or how many of you have a, you have need for your parents, or whatever it might be, I'm sure that we could identify needs all across this room. But this was something that happened in the New Testament. In fact, I saw something incredible. The Lord spoke to Moses as they were getting ready to move into the promised land. He was talking about the releasing of debt. And one of the things he said is that if you obey my commands, there will be a day that you are so blessed that nobody will have needs. This was an Old Testament concept, and it was one that the New Testament church grabbed a hold of. I'm telling you, church, I want to see our church move into a realm of generosity, that there's not a single needy person in our house. Every need is being met. You guys are you want to know why we've got 10,000 in our weekly giving right there? I know it turns individuals off to have maybe a money goal. Some people even get turned off by having an attendance goal. But the reason that we do that, you understand, having 10,000 flow through this ministry in a week, it has nothing to do with me. My brother, he asked me some time ago, he's like, so when the offerings are higher, do you get paid more? No, it doesn't work that way. I don't get a percentage of the offerings or anything. I'm on a set salary. It doesn't change. Dr. Morocco has an idea. He presents it to a board. They approve it. I don't get more if you guys give more. I want you to understand that. What I believe, though, is that as we begin to break into this realm, we're going to move into a realm of supernatural generosity. And there is going to be a breakthrough. Let me tell you a story, a great example of this. My wife and I, for about 4 years, led a homeless church in Dallas. We traveled evangelistically. We had other ministries that we cared for, but we led a homeless church for a number of years in downtown Dallas. And sometimes it was hard to measure the attendance of those services. So what we would do is we would measure our attendance by how many meals we gave away. And on many of those Sundays, we would give away over 500 meals to the homeless. And I remember hearing a sermon on one occasion about how generosity will break the curse of poverty. You hear what I said? Generosity will break the curse of poverty. And the Lord spoke to me. Honestly, the Lord rebuked me. And he said, the fact that you haven't been receiving offerings during your homeless church service, you are stealing an opportunity for these people to break out of their poverty. So you know what I did? That very next Sunday, we got some buckets together. And you understand, everything was donated. Again, same as we operate here, I wasn't getting anything out of this. In fact, every need, the meals, everything was donated for that service. We didn't need the money. It wasn't for us receiving an offering, and I didn't expect a large offering in a homeless service. But I believed that as if I could encourage this people to become generous, even if they only had a little, that God would begin to break the curse of poverty. So I remember that Sunday, I stand up and I begin to encourage them, and I begin to share some of the verses about our generosity. And I'm watching the people as they engage, and then I say, okay, it's time for us. We're going to receive an offering right now. And I watch about half of the homeless congregation, several hundred people, stand to their feet and they scatter in different directions. And I really thought, boy, I have blown this. This is the worst offering in the history of offerings that has ever been received. But this is what I discovered. Most of the homeless didn't carry their money on them because they're constantly being stolen from and all this kind of stuff. What they did is they got up and they went back to their camps, back to their tents. And I heard them rummaging through their tents, and every single one of them came back with money in hand. And I'm telling you, it brought tears to my eyes as the buckets began being passed. and all you could hear was loose change being dropped in the bottom of those buckets. I think our total offering was it $91? And I think 60 of that came from our leaders or something like that. It was a very minimal, but everybody participated. And can I tell you what began to happen? Three awesome testimonies that I heard. There was an individual who came, and they had been in aviation school. They'd been studying to be a pilot and going to school. He came back. He disappeared. We didn't see him for about 2 months. And then he came back to us, and he said, God has opened a door for me, and I was able to go back to aviation school. Next month, I'm going to finish, and I'm going to be able to get my pilot's license. There was another individual who came to us, and a lady, Anne, I believe was her name. And she gave in that offering. And within weeks, there was a program that she got qualified for, and we got to help Anne move into a little apartment, a little two-bedroom thing. We, as the church, came together, and we got furniture for her and helped her move into her new place, and boy, she was so happy. She was so proud. There was another individual, another guy, disappeared. Didn't see him for several months. And he came back down to our homeless service dressed in a three-piece suit, nice tie. I mean, just dressed to the T. And he said, God has brought great provision in my life. I was able to go back to Dallas Baptist University and finish my degree. And now I'm moving into ministry. I'm going to be taking a church in the next couple months. I'm telling you guys, we watched. If it works for homeless, I'm telling you, it'll work for you. I realized that day that I was depriving the people of an opportunity to break the back of poverty through their generosity. And so, how did this happen in the New Testament church? Now, this is a cool story. You just see a couple verses about this, but if you look at verse 36, this is so awesome. In verse 36, it says, and Joseph, this is Acts chapter 4, it's Joseph, or some of your translations will say Joseph, who was also named Barnabas. And this is what happened. Joseph, or Barnabas, he had some property. And the Lord put it on his heart to sell that property and give all of the money to the church. In fact, it so impacted them. In fact, one of the things that they would do in the New Testament is if there was some attribute or some great faith characteristics, they would literally give you a new name. And you'll see that with, like, what was it, James and Zebedee? Is that who it was that they called Boanerges, the sons of thunder? I mean, how many of you? We should start doing this kind of thing where we give people cool names like that. Minister Thunder, okay? I don't know. But they did that. Jesus did that with Peter, you'll remember. They say, hey, Peter, you're not a pebble anymore. You're not a shaky, sandy believer any longer. I'm calling you rock. I'm gonna use you to build the church. And so Jesus named him. And they named Joseph Barnabas. You wanna know why they called him Barnabas? Barnabas, you can read there in that passage, literally means the son of encouragement. And this is what happened. He went and he sold his property and he gave everything to the church. And it brought such encouragement that you'll read, many people in the church started selling properties and things that they own and bringing into the church. This is where this incredible prosperity began to break out. It's literally the gift of giving. You can read about it in Romans chapter 12, the gift of giving. I believe it's 12:8, the gift of giving. It's a supernatural gift that at times the Lord will release. In fact, I've seen it in operation on a couple occasions. I remember Cindy Jacobs was ministering at Christ for the Nations and received an offering, and there was an individual there who I think needed a school bill paid or something like that. And there was a person there who had in cash the exact amount that they needed on that remaining balance. So what they did is they took that wad of cash and they brought it down to the altar and they laid it right there. And then there was another individual, it spurred something on. It began to encourage, and the gift of giving began to be released throughout the entire in the entire place. And so, I mean, just crazy things started to happen. There was somebody who stood up and they shared, I want to get engaged, but I can't afford wedding rings. And then somebody said, you won't even believe it, but my husband and I just got new wedding rings, and we've got our old ones, and I've got them right here. And they brought them down and brought their wedding rings, and they were even the exact same size that this new couple who was engaged to be married, the exact. Are you guys hearing me? I mean, this is crazy kind of stuff. And this thing went on and on for hours. Individuals, they would hear about a need, and somebody else had shoes, all different kinds of things. I need a work uniform. I used to work there. I have a uniform. I mean, just the craziest things that you've ever heard. Thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of dollars were given in that service. Nobody had needs. Nobody suffered needs. And so, does this encourage you guys? We're going to be a generous church. Everybody say generous. Let me give you a couple points on how we can be generous. A couple points on how we can be generous. And then we're going to exercise this just to give you a heads up, okay? Number one, we need to fight for generosity. How do we become a generous church? We need to fight for it. We need to fight for it. We need to fight against our human nature. You know your human nature wants to be selfish. You know that? I was telling my wife, I was never able, junior high, high school, shortly thereafter, I was never able to keep a girlfriend before I got saved because I was selfish. I had my girlfriend, you know, listen, you either spend time with me or you spend time with the boys. I'd be like, bye. You know, you either choose me or you choose the weed. And I was selfish. I mean, this is before I was saved, just so you know. I don't believe in this stuff today. But I was very selfish. And it was a wild transition as the Lord began to work deeply in my life when Leah comes along. And I find that my selfishness begins to taper off. In fact, I'm telling you, I believe one of the greatest keys to a successful marriage, this is just a bonus point for you, don't be selfish. Don't be selfish. There you go. That's marriage advice right there. Take note. Don't be selfish. But we need to fight. If we're going to be a generous people, we need to fight against selfishness. That's part of our human need. We need to fight against the world that pushes us to love money and make it God. Jesus warned us about this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. He said, listen, you can't serve me and worship mammon. It was literally the God of money or worshiping money as God. It will not work. But that's what our world system promotes is the worship of money, the pursuit of money. Everything's all about money. We measure people by their success, by their net worth. And we're going to break that system, okay? Amen? How do we become a generous church? Number two, we model it. Everybody say model it. We model it. That's what Barnabas did. That's why they called him the son of encouragement. It sparked something in the church that ended up being a blessing to everyone who was a part of it. I'm telling you, in fact, it was about a year ago, a little over a year ago, we painted this building. In fact, all of the paint in this building, he would be upset if I told you this, but I've told you before. And the reason I know he'd be upset is because he got upset the last time I told you. All of this paint and all of the labor was donated by James Respecio. Hi, James. I hope you watched the video. And he came to me after I shared that. Because isn't our church beautiful, guys? I mean, don't you love how it's been painted? I mean, you'll see this thing from a mile away now, and I love it. And he donated, and not just the paint, but he donated, I think, three workers who worked around the clock for several days, over a week, to paint the inside and the outside. Such a blessing. And I remember I stood up one Sunday and one Thursday and I told the church about what James had done. And he came up to me after the service. He says, Pastor, I didn't want anybody to know about the blessing. I didn't want anybody to know how I gave that day. And I told him, James, when people hear about what you've done, not only do I want it to bring you business, because he sells paint, by the way, if you ever need your house painted or your business, call James, okay? But I said, it's going to bless your business. I want to be a blessing to you. But listen, we need to model generosity. We need to model giving. And you know what was so amazing? As other projects came up over the next weeks, because we were doing a lot of renovation, I'm telling you, something about what James did, next thing we know, we're seeing volunteers show up to work in the yard, and we're seeing volunteers donate their time to do this carpet and to renovate the area next to us. And it inspired generosity. So we need to model our generosity. Now, understand, that doesn't mean that we're going to, in fact, Jesus rebuked some guys, these who blast the trumpet as they're bringing their offering to the Lord. We're not doing that. It's not what I'm talking about. We're not going to put up, in fact, I've seen posters in churches where they have top givers boards, and they give them better parking and all this kind of, and we're not doing that because I understand. You could give a large amount out of a place of need in your life, and in God's eyes, you're giving as much as a wealthy individual who might give several thousand dollars in the same. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about a dollar amount. I'm talking about, is your heart being generous? Okay? And so now I did see another board. In fact, Dr. Morocco is telling us, I guess there's a synagogue, a Jewish synagogue right here in town. And when you become a member of their church, they find out what your annual salary is. And they will contact their members if they're not giving a tithe of their salary. So we're going to start doing that. No, we're not doing it. We will never do that. We will never do that. But one funny thing that I did see, in fact, I'll just tell you, I don't know what you guys give. I chose a long time ago that I didn't ever want to look at people like dollar signs and like, well, I'll meet with this person because they give a lot. I'm not going to make time for this person because they don't. I'm never going to do that to you. And so I choose not to look at, who's giving what. I do make sure that our leaders are tithing because, again, we model giving. But that's about as far as I'm going to go as far as that. Does that make sense to you? Okay. So we model it. Everybody say model it. Which, by the way, James and Sally, if you're wondering who James is, you can meet him. They help out with our Filipino ministry on Monday nights. But James and his wife are now leading worship in Kihei. So you know what that means? I need some new Lahaina folk to rise up and begin to model giving. You can pray if that's going to be you, okay? Hallelujah. Number three, how are we going to become a generous church? Number three, we believe the word of God. How many of you think that's a good idea? Pastor, where are you getting this all from? Well, the Bible. Look at this. Proverbs 11:24. There is one who scatters yet increases more. There is one who withholds more than is right, and it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich. He who waters will also be watered himself. Which, by the way, do you know who wrote the book of Proverbs? Solomon. Solomon, Pastor Josh Morocco pointed this out the last week. If a multi-billionaire came to you and said, I'm going to teach you some things to make you rich, you would pay attention to what that guy was about to say. Right? If you're not paying attention, that's foolish. But if a billionaire says, listen, I'm going to give you some principles that's going to help you generate wealth, I'm telling you, I would get my recording and my notebook ready and have a backup recording just in case. Solomon was the wealthiest man on the planet. And the Bible says that he was wiser than anybody on. You get wisdom and you get incredible wealth. We should pay attention to the things that this man is telling us. He says, a blessing of the Lord, Proverbs 10:22, makes one rich. And he adds no sorrow to it. Proverbs 11:28, he who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruit of your increase, and your barns will be filled with plenty, your vats will overflow with new wine. Proverbs 19:8, the one who gets wisdom loves life, the one who cherishes understanding will soon prosper. All day long, Proverbs 21:26. All day long, the wicked crave for more, but the righteous give without sparing. The generous themselves will be blessed. They will share their food with the poor. Now, I know some of you are thinking, Pastor, that's great. But these are all Old Testament. And I've had people actually come to me before. I'm a New Testament believer. I'm under the New Covenant. And so, let me give you some New Testament scripture. In fact, did you know that the Bible talks more about issues of money and giving and generosity than any other topic in scripture? I mean, this is crazy. It talks about issues of money and generosity more than it talks about sin. It talks about issues of giving and stewardship more than it talks about heaven or hell or even the process of salvation. You want to know why? Is because I believe that what I'm talking about today is one of the greatest stumbling blocks for people in their walk with the Lord, and even in their relationship with one another. Why do most marriages fall apart? The number one reason is issues over money. Why do people leave churches? More often than not, it's issues over money. People leaving their employers, the list goes on and on. There's a reason the Bible talks so much about this. But look at what Jesus said, Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it will be sown into your bosom. With the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Meaning, you get to determine how much you get blessed. If you are a very generous person, you're setting the bar very high for how God can bless you. If you're a stingy person, you're lowering the bar in how God can bless you. It's very quiet. Okay. That's what Jesus said right there. Just look at it. Luke 6:38. Matthew 6:19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break and steal. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The list goes on and on. 1 Timothy 6:18. In fact, I don't have time to go through all of these because my wife said we need to drink coffee after the service. So I'm going to get through this, okay? If you want the scriptures, I can send you these notes, okay? I've got like 15 other verses out of the New Testament. Philippians 4:14, Acts 20:35, 2 Corinthians 9:6, 2 Timothy. Okay, all right. I'm just showing you, I'm not making it up. This all throughout scripture. So how do we become a generous? Everybody say, how can I be generous? The next point, stop making excuses. Okay? Stop making excuses. Think about my homeless testimony. I've looked, and what's mind-boggling to me is, you know, I've studied and I've looked a lot at wealth development, and, you know, I'm involved in the stock market and investing and all that kind of stuff, and I want to learn. I want my money to go far, and I look at Christians and non-Christians who are making money. And what is amazing to me is even secular millionaires and billionaires, you look, and you can get online, you just search this, what are traits or attributes of millionaires, or traits or attributes of extremely wealthy people, and you'll notice there's two things, and this is not on Christian lists, again, but two things that I see on every single one of them. One, usually the number one thing that these guys say, integrity. That's a Christian word. But they say, be honest in what you're doing. Be honest in you know, your taxes. Be honest and you know, don't lie. Don't steal. Deal in integrity. The other thing, and again, these are not Christians who are putting together these lists or who are operating by these principles. But the second thing is generosity. Many of them will call it charity. You know, they'll give to some nonprofit, or they'll give to some, you know, disaster relief, or, you know, some international aid. But charity, generosity is one of these things. And so generosity, something that even the wealthy of the world grasp. You let money flow through your hands. Sometimes you need to invest in order to see a return. Even Jesus taught us that. Amen? Did you know being poor is not an excuse? I just don't have money. Last week I talked about the church of Macedonia in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, how out of their great lack and poverty, they gave very generously, even supernaturally generous. We all know the story of the widow who gave 2 pennies or 2 mites in Luke 21. And Jesus said that her heart and what she gave, she actually outgave everybody, even these who were bringing in bags of money. And in God's eyes, she gave very tremendously. Another excuse. Well, Pastor, I don't have anything to give. Let's not live by excuses. No excuses. Amen? Ephesians 4:28 says, be industrious, meaning work hard. Earn an honest living, and you'll have enough to bless those in need. Did you know that we have individuals in this church? In fact, I don't know if she's here, Auntie Virgie. I'm going to brag on two people that aren't in the room right now. Auntie Virgie, oh, she is right here. She's hiding behind Kim. Did you know Auntie Virgie? She wanted to be able to give more than what her income was allowing her to do. So you know what she did? She went and started working nights at Safeway so she could generate extra income, not so she could do something more for herself, but so she could bless and she could give in a greater measure. Did you know Auntie Verna? She's not here. She's probably watching online right now. She came. She retired. But then there was a time where sometime later she's like, man, I hear about these needs in the church, and since I've retired, I'm on a set income. So you know what she did? She started picking up extra days so that she could begin to give. So listen, if you wanna be generous, don't make excuses, okay? Amen. How are we gonna be generous? So we're gonna fight for it. We're going to model it. We're going to believe the word of God. We're going to stop making excuses. Minister Riley, why don't you come? Let's close. We're going to be, number five, good stewards. Everybody say good stewards. That means we're going to be thankful for what we have. Don't complain. Don't complain about what you don't have. Thank God for what you do have. Be faithful with what you do have. God will not trust you with more if you're not being faithful with what's in your hands right now. That's why the very first thing that I do when my paycheck, now we're on direct deposit, but the very first thing that I do before I pay bills or do any of that, in fact, I've even switched my auto pay because I want the very first thing that's taken out of my paycheck to be my tithe. I pull out my tithe and I pull out the additional offerings. We've designated something towards our daily seed and towards missions every month. And I pull those things out before I pay any bills. Be faithful with what you've got. Get a plan for your money. Get a plan for your money. I like Dave Ramsey. Give every dollar a name and set goals. Set goals. How much do you want to give? How much do you want to save? How much do you want to invest? How much do you want to reduce debt by? We do that. We set goals for our money. And here's the last thing. We're going to rise to the challenge. We're going to rise to the challenge. Now, this is what we're going to do. I want my ushers, I want them to hand out, I want everybody to take an envelope right now. Everybody's going to take an envelope right now, okay? You might not have something that you're giving today, but even young people, I want you to take an envelope. I want everybody to have an envelope right now. Even if you want a text to give, my wife and I sometimes, because I like to do the physical act of taking an envelope, even if we text to give, sometimes I'll fill out an envelope. So I want everybody to take an envelope right now. But I want you to listen. I want you to listen to what I'm going to say, because I'm going to give you instruction. Is this time for your regular tithe? But we're going to do something else. So I want you to pay attention before you start filling that thing out, okay? Do I still have your attention? Just make sure our ushers are, you know, they're doing their job, but I want you to listen. Three times a year, in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 16, the Bible challenges us to give, how I like to say, a ridiculous offering. Everybody say ridiculous offering. We did this recently for the Feast of Passover. There's three feasts that the Bible talks about. Hear me on this. I want you to understand why we're doing what we're doing. The Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Did you know that God has a calendar? God has a calendar. And, you know, it's not just a Jewish thing, but even a couple weeks ago, I talked about the Feast of Tabernacles and how Jesus, he stood up and he said, listen, guys, this Feast of Tabernacles is about me. It's about me. Did you know that Jesus was crucified during the Feast of Passover? That Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit was poured out, and there's actually a pretty good argument that can be laid. Many people believe that Jesus will return during the Feast of Tabernacles one of these years. I believe that. But during each of these times, the Lord gave clear instruction. Don't come to me empty-handed. Come with a gift. Come with an offering. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles this year is going to be on October, I believe, 13th. Yeah, October 13th and the 20th. It runs from Sunday to Sunday. October 13th and 20th. So I think that's 3 weeks away now. But this is what I want to do. Dr. Morocco has issued a challenge for the entire church. And what he determined to do in his heart is he actually wanted to make a down payment on what he's believing God to give on the Feast of Tabernacles. Does that make sense? He's getting a deposit. So, let's say I want to believe God to give $1,000 during the Feast of Tabernacles. Maybe you'll put down a down payment and you say, I want to give $100 today by faith, believing God's going to provide for me $1,000 by the Feast of Tabernacles a month from now. Okay? So what I want you to ask the Lord, and listen, if you even want to, if you might take this and you come back on Thursday because you need to really pray and think about it, that's okay. Again, I'm not going to be going through and checking, well, why didn't this family give their down payment for their feast? I'm not doing any of that, okay? But I want you to pray and I want you to ask the Lord what you're believing to give during the Feast of Tabernacles. So on that tithe line, we didn't receive our tithe earlier. We're receiving our tithe right now. So you can go ahead and begin to fill that out. So write out your tithe. But on the same envelope, if you want to give something, or maybe you even write down a pledge on there, I'm believing for God to give you, write it on your envelope. I write prophetic declarations on my giving envelopes all the time. I'm believing God for a house. I'm sowing into this word, believing for the salvation of my family. I'll do that kind of stuff all the time. If you are texting to give, what I want you to do is your tithe goes to tithe, of course. But if you're doing this special offering, that's what I want you to designate it as. The drop-down menu, and I want you to put special. I want you to put what is there, okay? God's going to do a great work in our lives. So you just make that ready. If you're writing out a check, write it out to Casey. We're going to do things just a little bit different. In fact, ushers, we're not going to pass the buckets. I want you to bring them. And Leah, would you come to and just help me in this? Give me at least two of these here and give one to Leah. In fact, I'll take these two and Leah can take those two. And we'll bring our live stream onto the wide angle so not everybody's walking in front of the camera. Go check out our live stream. It's pretty cool now. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to pray. And as soon as I'm done praying, and as soon as you're ready, I want you to step out from where you're at, and we're going to give together. In fact, why don't you stand as I pray right now? Lord Jesus, I just thank you for a generous church. And I'm believing, Lord, that you're going to move us into a new realm of generosity. You're going to move us into a new realm of giving, that we're going to break giving barriers that have been existing over this house and, Lord, even over our lives. I believe, even as I shared, that generosity is going to break the back of poverty. There will not be a curse over our finances. The devourer will not eat away our funds any longer. But, Lord, as we trust you in the realm of our giving, Lord, we thank you for your hand that is upon us, that is in our giving. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's step out and let's begin to give right now. Yeah, even if you text to give, you can bring your phone down and tap it on the bucket. Ushers come here, and at least one of my ushers, yeah, just come and be with us, yeah, thank you, and let's pray for this right now. Lord, I just thank you for the generosity of your people. God, I'm asking that you would do exactly what your word said. So many verses I could grab hold of, but Lord, we believe for your generosity and your blessing to be poured back out upon your people. Thank you, Lord. We're breaking this $10,000 barrier. It's going to enable your church to do more than we've ever been able to do, Lord, to extend further than we've ever been able to. God, we thank you for your favor on your people, your blessing on our finances, and you're moving us into a realm of supernatural generosity. I pray, even as you did in the book of Acts, that we would see the day right here in Lahaina where nobody will suffer need. Nobody in our house is suffering need, Jesus, because you provide, because you supply, and you use us to do it, mighty God. And so we thank you for your hand on our lives, on our finances, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Are you excited, church? It's going to be supernatural. It's going to be a sign and a wonder.